isn't he wonderful? Then sings my soul.
Would you mind if I get started here today? Maybe we'll have some singing after and some time of worshiping and praying around the altar. We'll give that time for that. But if you don't mind, I'm going to go ahead and just get started and share something here today that's on my heart. I hope will help you. We're not quite away from some things we talked about the other night completely. And the Lord, a verse of scripture had come to my heart. And verses that are just great to read. And you don't want to get too far away from certain things. Amen. We always, you know, when you build a house, you build it upon a foundation. But once in a while, you're reminded that you do have a foundation. And it's nice to revisit, make sure there's no cracks and water leaking in and flooding your basement. Not that there's any cracks in Jesus, but I mean our lifestyle, things that we're doing, how we're living. And we want to make sure, you know, there's nothing like waking up to an unexpected flood. John chapter 8. Beginning of verse 30. Jesus has just finished with the episode of the woman taken in adultery. He's in the temple teaching in the treasury. And it says in verse 30 of chapter 8 of the book of John, as he spake these words, many believed on him. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, if you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. They answered him, we be Abraham's seed, and were never in bondage to any man. How sayest thou, you shall be made free? Jesus answered them, verily, verily, or truly, truly, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin. And the servant abideth not in the house forever, but the Son abideth ever. If the Son, therefore, shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. I like that. I'm going to read that one more time. If the Son, speaking of himself, therefore shall make you free, and he just told them from what, but they didn't get it yet, you shall be free indeed. Amen. I love how he ends the sentence. You shall be free indeed. Not just free, but free indeed. Some people need to get a hold of the indeed. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Have a little punch. If God has delivered you from something, he always delivers you, and indeed, I am delivered. Yes. Hallelujah. I was once blind, but now I see. It's that indeed, it's that extra, it's that something that he puts in there. Because when he frees you, you're not just free, you're free indeed. Hallelujah, hallelujah. No questions about it, praise God. Hallelujah. Let's love him today, shall we? Glory. Just take a moment and love him. Hallelujah. Lord, we praise you. Lord, we praise you. Lord, we praise you. Lord, we praise you. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 Praise God. You may be seated. Thank you for standing. Thank you, Jesus. When we read the rest of this conversation, reminds me of one we've recently had, talking about the other night, some of us have had. Jesus had them too, so we're all being consoled. He's gone back and forth with people that were just eggheads, and we're not going to see the truth. But what I like, and I'm just going to quickly say this, although I'm jumping ahead, what I like about the Lord is even though he confronted people who did not want to see who he was, did not want to hear what he had to say, they just wanted to prove their point, and they just wanted to somehow get rid of him, it didn't stop him from being him. And you can read at the end of this chapter how when they wanted to stone him with stones, that he got away from them and passed by them. But as he passed by, as the next chapter continues, on his way of going from those guys, he finds somebody who's blind and he heals them. Praise God. Look, just because people don't want to believe the truth, it doesn't make the truth disappear. And it doesn't stop the truth either. Praise God. You've got a truth out there that wants to set you free if you want to be free. And there's nothing that can stop the freedom of God from coming to you if you will want that freedom for yourself. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Somebody's going to be healed. It might as well be you. Thank you, Jesus. Isn't that right? Somebody's going to be fed with the word of the gospel. It might as well be you. And you might as well have the attitude, it might as well be me. I'd much rather have an attitude that says, I'm going to be blessed. It might as well, if somebody's going to be blessed, it might as well be me, instead of an attitude that says, I'm never blessed. Things are always bad. Oh, God. No, I'd rather change that tune a little bit and say, wait a minute. There's someone in our midst, there's someone in my midst that can set me free. There's nothing Jesus can't set you free from. Praise God. I don't care how many delinquents there are in the world that don't believe that. Their delinquency does not disannul the power of God. Amen? Because you'll call upon Jesus' name after their delinquency is done, and Jesus will answer you and heal you and help you and strengthen you and deliver you, save your soul from sin, praise God, and from you being the servant of sin and shackled by sin, deliver you, no matter what the nincompoops say. And there are always nincompoops, always. The world's full of them. But that doesn't change the master from being the master. Amen. Their nincompoopness doesn't change his ability to set you free. Don't get overwhelmed by the people who just want to be delinquent. Sometimes you just got to do what Jesus does and pass by them. Hallelujah. Don't live your life based upon what people say of you, but definitely live your life based upon what Jesus says of you. Amen. Amen. Let's love him one more time here. Let's make a joyful noise. I'm speaking to you the truth today. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise God, praise God. So let me finish this brief conversation just to show you an example that, you know, there's people who just don't always get it. And there are people who will chide with the truth. They answered him, we be Abraham's seed and we're never in bondage to any man. Now, this part puzzles me because they were. So I don't know why they were saying this. They were in bondage to Egypt. They were in bondage to the Babylonians. They were under Roman occupation. Maybe not in bondage, but so something wasn't clicking there, you know, in their answer. But this is just like people, right? I'm saved. I know I'm saved. You know, we be Abraham's seed, you know. So Jesus faced it too. What do you mean you shall be made free? And Jesus now answers what he means. This is the freedom he was talking about. And it had nothing to do with the fact that they were Jews or not Jews. There was something deeper there. He said, verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever commits sin is the servant of sin. And the servant abides not in the house forever. But he said of himself, I abide forever. And if the Son, therefore, shall make you free, and he's talking about being free from being a servant of sin. Amen? I'm thankful. The 1 John 3 testifies to us that Jesus was manifested that he might take away our sins. and he was manifested to destroy the works of the devil. Praise God. He showed up to absolutely deliver us, not leave us where we are, but leave us with some sort of accept Jesus, I'm saved thing, but not really be free. When he says, I've come to set you free, you're free. You're either free or you're not free. Right. Praise God. When you're free from a bill, the bill's paid. Right? When you're free from bad debt, you're free from bad debt. You don't have bad debt anymore. Isn't that right? When you're free from a tummy ache, you don't have a tummy ache anymore. When someone sets you free from a burning house, you're not in the burning house anymore. It's pretty common sense. Praise God. And if you're free from sin, then you're no longer living in sin. You're no longer in the household of sin. You're no longer under the bondage of sin, because one greater has come to set you free. Amen. That is why the scripture teaches us in Romans 6, shall we continue in sin? I agree. I know. I got an amen corner there. Isn't that all right? Hallelujah. Yeah, she likes the word preached. That's all right. I like that. Praise God. But Romans 6 testifies, shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? But what does that suggest? God forbid is the answer, right? So, like I said, we could play racquetball with these deluded minds all day long, and they'll only want to see what they want to see until someone of them is hungry enough to say, wait a minute, there's something more there than what I was being taught, because the scripture doesn't say what you're saying it says. Isn't that right? But the idea of Romans 6 and 1 is the fact that grace is greater than sin. Shall we continue that grace may abound? Because it will abound. See, that's the other thing about that verse. It is saying grace can abound and sin cannot survive. Praise the Lord. Jesus came, right? John chapter 1, full of grace and truth. So please understand, when he says, I can set you free, he's full of saving power. He's full of the truth that can set you free. He's full of the grace that can set you free. He's just full of everything we need to be free. Amen. Hallelujah. And look, I don't know how to explain it other than to tell you, if you call upon his name like he said, I will deliver you. Praise God. If you can forsake sin and repent of your sin, God can fill you with the baptism of the Holy Ghost, which is the Spirit of Jesus Christ. It's that liberty and that freedom to illuminate your life and deliver you. It's a spiritual separation. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth, and there was darkness upon the face of the deep, if you remember Genesis 1. And the scripture says that the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters, and God said, let there be light. I love how in charge he is. See, this helps me not get annoyed with the nincompoops. I just go back to Jesus is in charge. Not darkness. Because darkness likes to ruffle its feathers and say, we're upon the face of the deep. Jesus is like, I don't care. I will move upon the face of the deep, and I will speak, let there be light. Amen. And there was light. And God saw the light that it was good, and God separated the light from darkness. There's no verse of scripture anywhere from Genesis to Revelation that backs that it's okay to be both dark and light. There is no yin-yang in God. I forget which one's the bad, but he kicks it out. Because with God, God is light. And I don't know if yang is light or not. I don't remember. But my point is, God is only one thing. And in him is no darkness at all. If you say you follow after God and walk in darkness, the scripture says in 1 John 1, you lie and do not the truth. So this is where sometimes I withdraw and do as fast as I can like Jesus and get out of Dodge. Because they don't have any basis. People who want to believe a lie because they love to sin. They don't want God and his word to reprove them of their darkness because they love their darkness rather than light. Not all, but some. So you'll never convince them until they humble themselves and want to be convinced. And again, though, it doesn't change the fact that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. So there's verses of scripture everywhere that we can just entrap people who think they can thrash us. You know what I mean? Look, your own experience, even if you don't have a whole lot of scriptural knowledge because you maybe haven't studied a whole lot, but you've got this Holy Ghost inside, you have more than all the thrashers have, all the nincompoops have, all the unbelievers. You just stick with your testimony. I was blind, but now I see. And none of them can take that from you. Glory. I've been down. I've made my mistakes, and God has lifted me up. Disprove that, nincompoop. They can't. They cannot steal from you an experience that you've had with God. Praise the Lord. I'm so sorry you don't want experiences, but we want a ton of them. Praise the Lord. Our walk with God is full of experiences. Praise God. Full of fellowship. Full of relationship. Praise God. Full of the wisdom, knowledge, power, truth, and holiness of God. Hallelujah. Amen, amen. Let me just go back here. I was going to read the whole conversation, but I think I'll just summarize it. Let me just read verse 43, just a few verses, just to show you where the conversation was going. Jesus said, "Why don't you understand my speech, even because you can't hear my word?" So he got bold. "You're of your father the devil," John 8:44, "and the lust of your father you will do." So what he was doing, he was taking them from saying, well, we're Abraham's seed. Abraham is our father. He's like, well, if that was true, you wouldn't be trying to kill me. Because Abraham didn't try to kill me. Abraham believed God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness. He was called the friend of God. You are nothing like Abraham, but you are everything like your father, the devil. He got pretty bold. Kind and gentle Jesus. "He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth, because there's no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. Because I tell you the truth, you don't believe me." Thank you. Needless to say, they didn't like it. And then in verse 48, they said, "Say we not well, you're a Samaritan and hast a devil?" Amazing to say this to the Lord from glory. But this is what people do when they harden their heart. And I'm just here to say, if you want Jesus to set you free from anything, we're going to talk about that in just a minute. We're going to go back to those verses. If you need to be set free from anything, please don't harden your heart. It's written in Hebrews chapter 3. The children of Israel, many of them, hardened their heart when God brought them out of Egypt. And instead of believing the report of Joshua and Caleb saying, Canaan land is ours, they brought back the fruit, the pomegranates, the grapes. They were shouting the victory. They were singing, "What a mighty God we serve. Come on, let's go get it. Just like the Lord said, it's wonderful." Yet the other 10 spies said, nah. Man, you got to love those nah people. Just, man, are they a cloud on a sunshiny day? Nah. God can do it. Nah. I've tried that. I've prayed. Nah. And they discouraged the people of God and caused fear to come. And people began to talk about wishing they were left in Egypt. And God was displeased with that. And they provoked him and hardened their hearts. And the Lord caused them to wander in the wilderness for 40 years, a year for each day they were out there spying the land. That's not a good thing. And poor Joshua and Caleb had to become old men before they inherited the promise. Man, I would have been a little upset. I would want to thrash them with some of those grapes. But unbelief's awful, and it will stop. In fact, the scripture says in 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 19, I believe it is, quench not the spirit. So when we're here and when you need something from God, I don't care if you're delivered from sin already or not, don't quench the spirit of God. Jesus said in John 16 chapter, in this further up in this epistle, that when he, the spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. Yeah. Praise God. All truth. Not just one verse of scripture, not just John 3:16 truth. All truth. But we've got to be willing to be led of the Spirit of God. We've got to be willing to follow God. And when he leads us, when he's drawing us, we've got to We got to make the decision to do something with that drawing instead of letting all the other voices, because the voices are going to come. If you're not settled, I'm going to live for God. You're going to have these other voices that say, oh, you don't, that church preaches water baptism in Jesus' name. You don't have to do that to be saved. And especially when we get on that tongue talking stuff. Nope. That was gone a long time ago. What a bunch of nincompoops. I'll tell them like they are. You're a nincompoop if all that education in Bible school has caused you to teach people in your congregation that you don't need to receive the Holy Ghost, that speaking with tongues is of the devil, and all that glossolalia nonsense was only for the first century, but now that the Bible's written and complete, we don't need anything else. We don't even need music. That's so stupid. Now, I know I'm sounding rude, and I'm not necessarily intending to sound rude, but I tell you what, it's ruder, if I can use that, more rude. Sorry, maybe that's better English, just in case she's listening. It's more rude to say you don't need to be free. Because when you say you don't need to turn from your wicked ways, yet the scripture says the principles of the doctrine are repentance from dead works. Isn't that right? Hebrews 6:1. And when they say we don't need to be buried with him by baptism into death, which Romans 6 teaches us, and every other verse of scripture we could throw out there to you, but you already know. What they're saying is don't die to the world, stay alive unto sin and dead to God. That's what that evil spirit of deception is saying. It's saying, don't let the sun make you free. Whatever you do, don't go to Norwich Tabernacle in that stinky basement. Don't let them teach you the truth that can set you free. That's what they're saying. They may not think that, but that's what that spirit is saying. That spirit knows Jesus is going to set you free. If you come to a place like this, we're going to preach to you the real gospel that will absolutely change your life forever. Hallelujah. Oh, praise God. Do you believe that today? Let me ask you, has God changed some of you forever? Praise God. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. And we're conforming every day because he has put something in us that has caused us to become something that we weren't before. Paul said in Galatians 6, I believe it is, he testified, by the cross of Christ, I am crucified to the world, and the world is crucified unto me. Right? Didn't he say also in the word of the Lord in Titus, I believe it is, he testified that nevertheless, I am crucified with Christ, or Galatians 2, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. Yet not I, but Christ that lives in me. And the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God. So he said, I'm dead, but I'm alive. Right. And if you don't have this testimony, you're not free yet. But you can be. And I hope to heaven that we can entice you to want to be free. So that you can be dead to sin, but alive unto God. Praise God and all the things that you're living in now that's got your life such an absolute mess. Oh, yeah, we will pray today, Sister Gloria, for all those young people. You're right. I felt it and see it, and it's more than ever before. In fact, I was thinking earlier about our children's program and things that we're in motion right now on and just thinking about reaching our kids. Look, there's a time in life when what you go through in life and the world pulls you into the fight. There are some conversations we can't avoid, Brother Tim. We can't. We just get pulled in. Right? David got pulled in. Let me say it like this, if I could say it like this. It's almost as if God was watching on for 40 days and said, all right, I've had enough of this. Whistles over to David. Come on. We just got to get in the fight. Sometimes we just got to get in the fight. And we don't need to allow and just sit back. And it's not right for us to just sit back and complain about what the darkness upon the face of the deep is doing to our children and wanting to put, you know, cross-dressing people in front of kindergartners. And and sit there and parade all of this nonsense in front of them and teach a boy that it's okay if you want to be a girl, and a girl, it's okay if you want, you don't have to listen to mom and dad. Do all the stuff privately behind parents' backs and put it under the guise of art programs when they're in there trying to indoctrinate all this socialist nonsense into their brains. There comes a time when the church stands up and says, let there be light. And let's do that. Let's reach our hands in and let's reach this world, because you know what? If it's like the song, I've said it before, I'll say it again, Sister Brenda sings that song, don't let the devil ride. If you let the devil ride, he'll want to drive. Don't let him ride. And it happens every single time in various areas of life. If you let the devil in the car, he's going to boot you out of the driver's seat because he's in the car with the intention of driving the car. And you cannot. That's why parents cannot let him in the home. You got to be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. You got to let that sanctification that's in you, Papa, and in you, Mama, amen, make sure that the world doesn't get in your kids, even if they hate you for it. Praise God, because inside of us is a liberty that doesn't put up with the nonsense of captivity. It's a different T-Y. Our liberty, when it senses captivity, rises up and says, I don't think so. I'm never going back. Amen. My family's not going back. It's okay if your kids miss out on stuff you might not have missed out on. It's okay if you've shielded them from the world. Praise God. That's what you're supposed to do. Hallelujah. All right. Let me just finish here so we can sing. I want you to have time to pray and call on God. Sometimes we just need to call on God. Hey, if you're frustrated about the world and the way life's going, the best thing you could do is stop the show and call on God. Stop thinking, because you're not going to do anything but burn your brain out and cause a lot of smoke to come out of your nose and ears, and it's not worth it. Just stop and pray until the atmosphere changes by the presence of freedom. Hallelujah. The Son is still here to set you free, praise God. He's still here to deliver, amen. He's still here to change the atmosphere, amen. When you're confused, when you don't know what to do, when you're frustrated, when life's not going your way, stop all that whining and complaining and just call on Jesus and go have a good time. Amen. You don't need to go get drunk. You need to go drink the Spirit of God. Isn't that amazing, the world where you're kind of like, acting like an idiot and fool and being all ungodly and just, you know, woo! And yet we're not going to take the same with the knowledge of the truth and go after the water of life freely. It's free. We don't even have to pay for it. And drink all we can get. And that's what we're doing when we worship God. That's what we do in our prayer life. That's what we do when we go the extra mile. And we pray anyway. And we pray. And we worship again. Until we begin to really drink it all in. Hallelujah. This all right? Hope I'm not being too loud. I don't mean to be yelling. Okay, here we go. So this is the message here today. And the verses that were upon my heart. And I hope you hear this. Because I can't do this for you. Nobody could have received the Holy Ghost for me. I needed to receive it for myself. But there's many other things after the conversion. He said to those that believed on him, said to the believers, they weren't converted yet, but they were believing. They saw some things, they were hearing things, and they started to believe. And he said, if you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed. If you continue, you've got to continue. And when you continue, and in continuing, you're going to know some things. You're going to know the truth. And the truth is going to make you free. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Let me say something to all of us here. We don't need to become as guilty as the denominational world who have their handful of verses and can't be taught anything else. Because truth is greater than one verse. God is truth. Jesus said himself, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Isn't that right? He said, I'm the truth. What he was saying was, when I get into your life, I am truth. And I will guide you into all truth. Not just scriptural truth, but everyday living truth. Praise God. Everything about your life. Look, if you can just continue to keep your heart open before God, this Son of God that dwells in us by faith, the Spirit of the living God is truth. And he's going to lead us into all areas of our life and bring us into truth. This is why we have testimonies like Sister Marilyn was talking about. None of us knew these things, but she shared that testimony of something that between her and God that she just let go of. What was happening? Truth. She was following the truth, and the truth was leading her, praise God, away from things that could not be potentially not good for her. And thank God for the willing heart. See, we didn't tell her to do that. Nobody knew that. Just like there are things about your life that nobody knows. So it's more than just what some of us in our movements say, that, you know, he'll lead us into all truth. He'll show you Acts 2:38. He'll show you all the one God scriptures. Yeah, all of that will happen too. The revelation will come. But it's about truth living. It's about following God. That's what, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God are the sons of God. That's what that verse in Romans 8:14 is all about. It's about letting God lead you away from the stuff that does so easily beset you. You could know all the one God scriptures and still be beset. You can know all about Jesus' name and still have things weighing you down and besetting you. You know what beset means? It means besieged. I can't move. I am captured. But Jesus said, if the Son dwells in you, the Son's going to set you free. The Son doesn't like being beset. Praise God. The Son likes to be free. Hallelujah. Praise God. Free to roam about the country. Hallelujah. Glory. Glory. Hallelujah. Praise God. So there's nothing in our life. And that's what this Christian living is really all about. We go beyond this shallowness of just plucking out our scriptures and being as guilty as the rest of those are. And we just realize that truth, he desires truth in the inward parts. Let every man speak truth with his neighbor. It's not just let every man speak scripture truth with his neighbor, but let every man be true. If I say I love you, it's because I love you. We are the reason why we call each other brother and sister in the Lord, because that's what we are. We're the household of faith. We're the family of God. And it's a pet peeve of mine, but I hear some of these broadcasts online from other churches that have what they need to have, and they're just calling each other's names. I'm like, what happened to brother and sister? What happened to that reverence and respect and acknowledgement of the presence of truth? Oh, no, not so here. We're not going to let the world beat that out of us. No, sir. We're not going to let the world beat our church services into something that's explainable. No, we need unexplainable, undeniable, supernatural, freedom-ringing, amen, truth-preaching services and a lifestyle that when people come in and they're all bound by the wickedness of this world, Jesus steps right in and begins to set them free. Hallelujah, amen. Let's stand and praise the Lord. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. You'll know the truth. Hallelujah. You'll know the truth. That I may know him. That I might know him. Glory, 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 glory. I want to know him. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God.